Welcome, everyone, to Opinion Havers, a movie podcast for people who own the soundtrack on vinyl.
Oh, my.
Oh.
I'm Cody.
I'm Tyler.
Tyler, what did we watch?
We watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes. We did. And? How was it?
It was all right.
Yeah, it was.
It's a solid decent, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It was a good one. It was a good one. I liked it.
Me too. I have seen this movie 14 times now.
You keep trying.
I'd seen it so many. I was like, how many times have I seen this? And then I kept showing it to people. Like, the first year it came out, I think I saw it about 8 times because I kept wanting to show people. I think I saw it twice in theaters, which is impressive because it's only in theaters for like a month in my hometown.
Yeah.
And then...
And where was that again, Cody?
Victorville, California.
Oh my god. Are you telling me you were from the town where they filmed parts of Kill Bill?
They filmed at least 3 shots of Kill Bill in my hometown.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
So you're from Hollywood?
Basically. It was in like the regular movie theater for like 2 weeks. Then it went to the Dollar Theater for 2 or 3 weeks. And it was gone forever. And then and a month after that, I bought it on DVD and I watched it. Again and again and again. Anyway, I like this movie. It's on Netflix.
It is. And when did you acquire the vinyl, Cody?
Oh, you know what? It was about, I'm going to go ahead and say 1 year and 22 days ago.
Mm.
If I had to give it just a rough estimate.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Real rough.
Mm-hmm.
Down to the exact day, but pretty rough on the hours there.
1 year, 22 days, maybe 3.5 hours.
Mm. It's a little more exact, still pretty rough, but it's fine. We can get past it.
Yeah.
So, as of someone who's not super familiar with the film, Cody, how did you feel about all these things in it, you know? Because, I mean, obviously, I know a lot about the movie.
How'd I feel about what?
I don't know. I was trying to think of a specific thing, and I couldn't off the top of my head.
I really enjoyed it. I think this movie, I've seen it with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I show it to a lot of people because I really like it.
Yes.
I think people who enjoy it most are very familiar with either video games or comic books or both, because it's a comic book that references a lot of video games that they turned into an Edgar Wright movie. Yeah. So if you like Edgar Wright or you like video games or you like comics, I think it's a great thing to check out. If you don't like those things, I think it's still a good movie, but there's a lot of like little details and jokes and things that just are... you know, in reference to comics and video games and whatnot, but I think it's great.
It's a good one. I can see now, so there's a lot of people. Dial it back, Cody. Let's take you back. The year is 1955.
Disneyland first opens?
And I was a young man. Nathan's hot dogs were big and all that. So a lot of people are of the opinion that you can't make a good video game movie. Like, all the movies based on video games are just not very good. They're just pretty bad.
They have a bad track record, for sure.
Yeah. Like, the best you can hope for is something like Assassin's Creed or Tomb Raider. They're just like, alright.
Yeah.
Movies. You're not going to get a great movie. And I hear a lot of people say, oh, nay, sir. Scott Pilgrim. And then a lot of people are like, oh, nay to you, sir. These are the true nerds, you know, whatever, comic book nerds or whatever. Right. They're like, no, it's a comic book movie. And I say to you, sir, it's a comic book based on video games in your face. But it is. It's the best video game movie I've ever seen because it leans into that they're bad movies.
Yeah.
I also liked the fight scenes in this, since you are famously from the town where they filmed 3 scenes in Kill Bill. I liked the fight scenes in this better than the fight scenes in Kill Bill.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I just thought they were more over the top and crazy and more fun. And they did the thing where they filmed them probably normal speed so the actors could actually do them. And then they speed up the film, which is, you know, what they do in like old Kung Fu movies. Except for Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
They have to slow his footage down. I gotta slow it down. Can't see what's going on. He's too fast. He's a fast man.
Yeah, he is.
So I thought it was cool. thought it was over the top. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was very colorful.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much I like about this movie. First and foremost, I just love the humor. Second, the sound design is incredible, which is standard for an Edgar Wright movie. But this one, I think more so than his other movies, just because it's all these video game noises and stuff that's just really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, between the sound design, the humor, and the visuals, which have actually aged really well. I didn't realize this, but this movie's like 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But there were only one or two shots I saw in the whole movie where I was like, yeah, that looks a little bit dated. The rest of it, I think they did it just right where they made it look, I don't know, they played it just right where it looked good at the time, and I think it's pretty timeless.
I think it benefits from the same thing the original Matrix movie benefits from. Mm-hmm. When you look at that and you're like, oh, those effects are terrible, and it's like, they weren't that great at the time. Like, mm-hmm. They were groundbreaking, but they were supposed to look like, they didn't try to make them look real. They made them look like CGI,
yeah.
Like over the top. They smoothed everything way more than they should have and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was a choice they made. I'm pretty sure the Wachowskis have said this, that they did it so it would last. Whereas if they had gone for the most realism, it wouldn't have lasted a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you look at it now and it's like, oh, they're in a computer, so it's supposed to look that way. It's the same thing with this. Like, oh,
it's supposed to look like a comic book or like an old video game.
Yeah, it's supposed to have those like weird shots and stuff.
Yeah.
This is what amazes me most. I'm getting right into it, Cody. I'm getting right into everybody's favorite segment of the podcast. Because I have not met a friend. I've had very few friends who have not seen this movie, and every single one of them loved it and has bought it and went to go see it multiple times in the theater and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So what do you think the budget and the box office were of this film?
This budget's... what was it? It can't be more than 25. I'm going to guess...
All right,
I'm going to guess 25 at the box office. I don't even know.
You think it made 25 at the box office, or the budget was 25?
I'm going to guess 25 budget, 20 million box office.
No.
All right, I have no clue. What is it?
$85 to $90 million budget.
All right.
I think the effects probably count for most of that.
Yeah.
And there were some pretty big name actors. Like, even though you were saying when they were showing all the names, you're like, oh, all these people, they're so big now. A lot of those people were big at the time.
Not that big.
I mean, was it Chris Evans? Like, he wasn't a no-name actor at the time. People knew him from stuff.
Fantastic Four.
He's in Fantastic Four. He'd been in, what was the... he'd been in a bunch of, like, teen movies and, like, funny movies. He was a comedic actor. He wasn't, like, a hardcore actor like he is now. But he wasn't someone that you could get for almost nothing.
And he's probably the biggest name actor in that movie.
Yeah, everyone else is bigger now because of things they've gotten since. But
all
of them were... people you probably would even recognize at the time, because I recognized several of them. I remember it coming out, and I remember thinking, oh, they're in there, you know.
Yeah. Wait, but what's the box office?
Less than 50. It's $47.7 million. Yeah. And I was like, how did this bomb? I thought this was so much more successful than it was. Like, it's still kids. Like, so many people still hold it as, like, this amazing
movie. It was an
movie.
Instant cult classic. Like, the people that love this movie absolutely love it. And a lot of people either don't get it or just haven't heard of it, you know? Yeah.
I do wonder, because that's box office, and like you said, I feel like it... I never remember it being in theaters. I remember it being
on
DVD.
It came in... I saw the poster for this, I feel like, for months leading up to it, and mm-hmm. I was like, what is that? Michael Cera, maybe I'll go check it out. It came out, I saw it, I loved it, and then the next week it was in the Dollar Theater. And I was like, how did it come and go so quickly? So that's the other thing, is if it had had a 2 or 3 month run in the box office, maybe it would have gotten more like word of mouth and...
Well, see, that's the thing, is I bet you they've more than made their
money back.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Their money back now, because it's like everyone went out and bought it, and they rented all the time. Like, I know friends that if they're bored on like a Saturday night or something, they'll pop up like, I don't know, any of the places you rent movies, and they would just drop $2 on renting this movie.
Yeah.
Or they'd go out and they'd buy like... I feel like a little bit ago, for after it had been out for like 5 years or something, they released like this big special edition with a bunch of stuff, and it came with like a comic and all that.
Yeah.
And I knew a lot of people that went out and bought like those like special editions of it. But I also think I kind of benefited from, I had a friend who really liked the, I don't, is it a comic or is it a graphic novel?
Graphic novel.
Graphic novel that is based on. And he loved that. So he's like, oh, you got to see it. Obviously, I didn't see it. Obviously, did not see it. But I was amazed. I thought it was doing better. Because if you look at what Edgar Wright had done before this, it's not like he had done bombs. He was like a well-known person. So I don't know why they shoved it through the theater so fast. He's, like they had no confidence.
He's an interesting director because he's a fantastic director. But of the five movies he's done now, I don't know if there was one. I don't know. He's also British. And so like his three main movies are British movies. So mm-hmm. I just don't know how. He's not like a Michael Bay where it's like, oh, it's going to be a huge like event movie. But yeah. Film people like nerdy film geeks love him.
Yeah, I mean, my one of my favorite movies of all time, which I believe you scoffed at, he makes a cameo and he's not part of it. But he's tied to it in some way.
What movie?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He plays a deep thought technician. But, I mean, I love Hot Fuzz and I like this and Ant-Man and World's End. They're all really, really, really funny. Also, do you know he was in Star Wars?
No, I didn't know that.
He was in Star Wars The Last Jedi. He was a resistance soldier, uncredited.
What?
Okay.
The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
The really? Most... The new one?
Yeah, the new one.
Wow.
I heard something crazy. Like, so the amount of incredibly famous people who have been stormtroopers in the past two movies would blow your mind.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen lists of them. The only one I can remember is, like, he's a... Edgar Wright's been a resistance soldier. I know... Daniel Craig?
Oh, yeah, I heard that one, too.
James Bond, the one, the stormtrooper that she Jedi mind tricks. That's Daniel Craig.
Really?
And there was another big actor, I can't remember, but there's been a bunch that they're just... They ask, and they're like, can I be a stormtrooper just to say I was in Star Wars? And they do it for almost nothing.
Right.
Just for fun. And I'm like, I saw somewhere, someone's like, why would you do that? I'm like, why would you not do that?
Yeah. You've got the power or influence to be in a Star Wars movie. Wouldn't you take that opportunity?
If I could call someone up and just be
right, if I had J.J. Abrams' number on my phone, and just like text me and be like, hey,
can I be in this?
Could you use it as a stormtrooper?
Yeah.
But,
yeah. It just amazed me looking at, like, the things he's been involved in. Because there's several that he's at. There's, like, cameo perform, like, roles and stuff. Because I feel like he's very popular with other directors. They all like him.
Yeah, for sure.
And just the ones that he's been involved in any way. I like all these movies. He was a writer on Adventures of Tintin, which my father loves.
I haven't seen that, but has a fun title. Either.
But it's I was looking at that thinking, I wonder why they shoved it through so that it didn't have the time to make its money back.
It's interesting too because this is a beloved graphic novel.
Yeah.
People love this graphic novel. And I myself, this is the only graphic novel I've ever actually read through. And I've read through it twice. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's just imagine the movie, but longer. Like it's hysterical. I love it. I don't know.
Yeah. I've never read through the graphic novel. I've never felt the need to. I might check it out.
I would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing that you'll just burn through because it's so easy to read and it's so funny. Just a joy to flip through.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, I hear more nowadays about the video game that they made based on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then
there's like a little 8-bit fighter.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people love it.
Yeah,
say it's awesome. Say it's real good. But back to the film adaptation, maybe. Cody. There's been film. There's been TV shows.
What?
I don't know. Probably. Who knows? There's been a book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a video game.
And a video game. And a soundtrack.
And a Broadway musical.
I would go to that musical. Actually, it might not be that good.
It might not be that good.
Actually, because you'd have to be able to do the effects somehow, right? Make it look... Like, comic book translating into Broadway play sounds
rough. It would not be great.
There was the Spider-Man musical.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or it's such a meme. Like, people just think it's so funny that there's a Spider-Man musical. And
isn't that the one that the guy got, like, paralyzed because he was Spider-Man and he slammed into a wall?
Between it being Spider-Man and the people who got injured on it, it's just become a meme. So I don't know if it's actually good or not. But
I heard it was better than people thought, but I feel like Scott Pilgrim would run into the same amount of people getting injured.
Yeah, if you told me... When I think of Spider-Man musical, I think that's not going to be good. So if it was even decent, I'd be like, no, it's better than I thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I mean, it's no Wicked or Hamilton.
Heavens no. How could it be?
I don't know. What is Hamilton about, Cody?
Wait, is this a genuine question?
Okay, so I know is it Alexander Hamilton?
Correct.
But it's an all... Isn't it an all black cast or something?
Without sounding too racist...
You're the racist
it's
person.
It's an all-ethnic cast.
Okay.
Like, there's... Lin-Manuel Miranda is Puerto Rican-American. There's two or three of the main people are black. And then I think there's a couple other people that are Hispanic. Okay. I'm sure there's a white guy somewhere in there.
Well, I thought that that's what the thing
everyone
is.
Has to be able to rap, basically.
Oh, is it a rap
It's
thing?
Like a hip-hop musical, basically.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember...
It's fantastic.
Because I wasn't sure, because everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's about Alexander Hamilton... And then they're like, this guy's the main guy. And I was like, okay, so it's like Alexander Hamilton. They're like, yeah, but not, but it's like if everybody wasn't white. And I'm like, okay. I mean, they're just...
Basically, it's a hip-hop musical that follows the life of Alexander Hamilton from basically the American Revolution up until the time he was killed.
Okay, because all of my friends that have seen it refuse to admit that it is about Alexander Hamilton. They're like, but it's about Alexander Hamilton in an alternate timeline where everyone's not white. And I'm like...
What? So I'm sorry, what's this sci-fi...
I don't know.
...etymology? I don't
understand. So what I think they're getting hung up on is the fact that he's not white. And I'm like, okay, but it's still supposed to be Alexander Hamilton. And that's what I'm getting from you.
It's a movie it's just about hip-hop. Alexander Hamilton if the people playing the Founding Fathers could rap.
Okay.
That's all
it's
it is.
Just it's just that, okay.
Alternate
that makes
timeline?
So much...
What is that?
I don't know. I think
Alexander
they're trying
Hamilton,
to justify
anyway,
the
he's
fact...
from...
I don't know.
He's from... 80?
Alexander Hamilton?
Yeah, he's white, but like one of the colonies in Haiti, I think. One of those islands.
I can't remember. I just was like, they all wanted to make it a race thing, which I'm, you know, it's like, but it's just about
Scottish.
The thing,
I just
right?
Remembered.
Just about the guy. And they're like, yes, but no. And now I'm getting that I don't think they knew what they were talking about. I think they bought the album on iTunes.
I would highly recommend. I think it's on Spotify and it's on Amazon Music now.
Mm-hmm.
Invest 2.5 hours, listen through it. It's fantastic.
That's a long time.
You'll cry.
It's
so good.
So long though.
It's yeah. I always listen to it on the 4th of July.
It's so long though.
So should I? I mean, at this point, do you want to do the plot and then just dive into the nitty gritty?
I'm trying to figure out where Alexander Hamilton is. He's from Charlestown.
Charlestown.
Nevis.
What?
Nevis.
That's Nevis. UK?
I'm trying to find that out.
According to the musical, he's a Scotsman.
Nope, you are right. He is from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
That is
so I don't know if
he's
born in Scotland or if his parents are
born
in Scotland because...
Yeah, his parents are from... Yeah. He was born there. Born there? Born right there. Mystery solved, people. Ha ha! Nailed it.
So Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
May I do the honors?
Oh, are you gonna pick how we get there? You always scoff.
No, I was gonna give you the 30-second rundown.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yes, give me the rundown. I forgot we haven't done the rundown yet. It's
all right. This is gonna be real quick rundown.
Give it to me.
Scott Pilgrim is dating a high schooler. Then he meets a much cooler girl. He starts dating her. But in order to date her, he must defeat her 7 evil exes. And there's battles, and there's bands, and there's video games, and it's great.
So you're telling me that this guy wants to date this girl, and he has to beat up her 7 ex-boyfriends?
7 evil exes, yes.
So her ex-boyfriends?
Evil exes.
Exes. Seems weird that you're specifying exes, and no one seems to be picking up why you would specify exes.
Wait till the second act. Wait till the second act, all right? That's all I have to say.
It also has all 7 of her exes on the poster of the film. As I'm looking at it, I'm looking at the poster. There's all 7 right there. Boom, boom.
Mm-hmm. So, can we please?
Do what?
Take my hand.
Oh, I take it. I'm actually physically touching you right now.
Let's rollerblade through the dream vortex door in your mind's eye. Oh, let go.
I let go. I was straining.
That's okay. We're here.
Okay. 13 miles or five. How many miles in
13 miles in 15 seconds.
There you go.
I've seen this movie too many times. All right. So with someone with virgin eyes, would you please tell me, what'd you think?
I liked it. Like I said, it's the best video game movie I've ever seen. Is it good?
Yeah.
I thought it was about a bunch of people in high school. I didn't realize that Nyes was the only person in high school.
Yeah.
And his sister, possibly, in high school? I don't know.
No. I don't think so.
She was a teenager.
No, she's older than him.
No, it pops up her age.
She's older than him.
Are you sure?
She calls him little brother, which may just be her ripping on him.
Because I'm pretty sure it pops up her age and it says 17 or 18. When it tells her stats.
Google. You better Google that.
I don't even know what her name is. All right.
Stacy Pilgrim.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm too familiar.
Stacy.
With the lore of this.
But as someone who's never seen this film in this exact setting, what'd you think of it?
What? I mean, as a veteran of this movie, I still enjoy it every time. And I still find little details every time. It's so... Edgar Wright is so detail-oriented. I think this is one of the most rewatchable movies I've seen, which is why I've seen it so many times.
18.
Whoa!
She's 18 in the movie.
She calls him little brother.
Yeah. Because she's the mature one.
Yeah, she is.
She's in a relationship with Jimmy. Parentheses. Before Wallace steals him. Close parentheses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I love the use of music in this movie. Yeah. And do you know the fun fact about who does all the music for the movie?
What is the fun fact?
So the band in the movie, all the bands, it's Beck does all the music for him.
Beck?
Yeah, which is why all the singers sound the same, but Beck. Grammy Award winning artist. Beck. Yeah, isn't that fun?
Is it fun?
I don't know. You like Beck, I guess.
It sounds pretty fun.
He does a good job.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like the music. It's very edgy, very teenager, even though they're all in their mid-20s.
Yeah, they are.
Except for his sister and Knives.
Scott's 22.
Yeah, close enough, whatever.
I don't know. This movie, I just remember when I saw it, like, it grabbed me from the very beginning. Because it starts and it says, well, first, it does the Universal logo, but it does it as, like, an 8-bit... like video game theme.
So fun.
Which is fun. And I was like, that's really cool. And then it starts and it's like once upon, what is it? Not long ago in the mysterious land of Toronto, Canada. Yeah. Scott Pilgrim was dating a high school. And that's how it starts. I was like, that's hilarious. And then the camera pans down from the sky and it's the Legend of Zelda music. And I was like, this is amazing. I love this. I love everything about this. So this is one of those movies just grabbing right away and
just gets you.
Just grab me where it counts, and it didn't let go.
From the Universal logo onwards, it's nothing but nonstop fun.
Yeah, it is. Are you reading the movie poster?
No. But I was just about to say, you put that on the poster.
Yeah,
but the movie came out 8 years ago, so.
Yeah. You know,
kind of missed the boat on that one. Yeah, I liked this a lot. Like, I was kind of expecting it to be an okay movie. I didn't think it was going to hold up as well as it did, which I don't know why I thought that, since all the other Edgar Wright movies I've watched held up pretty good.
Yeah, this is no exception to his quality.
His quality craftsmanship.
Yeah, and I think he was probably the perfect director for this movie because he is so good at shooting films, at using sound, and at visual comedy, which is what makes the movie work, I think. I don't know anyone else who would have pulled it off as well as he did.
Michael Bay.
Oh, well, if we're talking Miguel Bay, then yeah.
Miguel Bay. It was good. I don't know if any of the big directors would want to do something like this. They would be like, nah, it's not worth my time. Yeah. Which obviously probably wouldn't have been at the amount of money it made. But mm-hmm. like I said, I'm sure they've made it back now. You know?
Yeah, I hope
the
so.
The amount of people making it, Netflix gotten it. Throwing them, I don't know how Netflix deals work. Do they get money every time you watch it? Let's discuss Netflix contracts. Let's
wildly speculate about Netflix pricing.
There's the things, right? Is it, do you get the, do they get paid every time someone watches it, or do they get paid up front?
I believe, and this is my personal speculation, they get paid up front for it.
Do you think so?
They say, we're going to pay this much money, and you'll let us keep this on Netflix for X amount of time.
So here's my question. Since we're into it, since you've brought us very irresponsibly on this wild tangent of Netflix contracts, I want to discuss the Disney contract with Netflix. Because Disney is trying to launch its own streaming service.
Oh, they're trying.
Well, they haven't done it yet. They're like half doing it.
They're big talkers.
But they're like, yeah. So here's what I thought. Here's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at me thinking? Look into my eyes. See my mind through my eyes.
I can watch the gears turning. It's fascinating.
So, if you will pay attention to the timeline here, Cody.
Yes.
Disney, they're all talking about
Tyler's
it, right?
Rhyming a timeline right now, just so you all know. He's with his fingers. Yeah. One is further along, and the other's further back.
Exactly.
Making a line.
Perfect. Painting a perfect picture. So they're all talking about, oh yeah, we're going to do all this stuff. We're going to make our own streaming service. It's the only place you can get these old Disney movies and all the new Disney movies. And we're not going to say how much it is a month, because that's ridiculous for us to say that so that you get excited for it, right? But they stopped talking about it as much, an awful lot, and all the Star Wars movies showed up on Netflix. So I wonder if Netflix rolled up to them with a big old check. And like, hey, why don't you not do that?
Yeah, well, because the Marvel movies, they always pop up on Netflix like 3 months after they've been out.
I know.
So, and then the new, like Moana and Frozen, all those always have a run on Netflix too.
They always do. So that's why I'm like, did they bribe them?
Yeah.
Did they pay them an obscene amount of money?
I heard about this Disney thing forever ago. And I was like, okay, well, by now they have to have executed on it, right?
But they didn't. But that's what I'm saying, is they were talking about it, and they were all like, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. They even had a website for it and all that stuff. Yeah. And then they stopped talking about it, and now they're all over Netflix.
How would that even work? I mean, obviously you get Marvel, Star Wars, and what's it called? Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
But they own other production companies. So that's the thing about Netflix, is it's got stuff for kids through adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to have a Disney service, are you going to have all those other, like, corporations that sit on production companies that sit under Disney that make like adult movies? Because if it's not comprehensive, unless you've got a family, you're probably not going to buy a streaming service that's just Disney. Yeah. But I guess if it had all the Star Wars and all the Marvel,
plus they just purchased a significant, or they're
Fox
in the portion of, they're in the, they're doing the purchase of Fox. There we go. In the process of purchasing a significant portion of Fox.
Right.
So, I mean, they have lots and lots of movies that they own that older people would enjoy. But here's my thing.
Would it be a comprehensive streaming service? That's my question.
Yes. I think that's the thing they wanted, is like all of the movies would be on there. And then after like a period, all the new movies would enter to where you could watch them. You wouldn't have to rent them. Right? I think that was their whole thing. They put out a whole thing. I read it once. I forgot every single word of it. But here's the thing. So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at it. I'm going to look at total assets here, because that's the amount of money the company has.
Whose assets?
We're looking at Netflix first.
Yeah.
$19 billion as of 2017. That's total assets. That's not revenue. That's not income. That's not net income. Assets. Just so you know, net income after their expenses, over half a billion dollars. Okay?
Not bad.
So now I'm going to pop up Disney.
Yeah.
Which is going to be significantly larger. I know that.
Yeah.
But then again, you don't know. You don't know, Greg. All right? So why don't you stop judging and let me Google the Walt Disney Company. Greg. Okay. Total assets of the Disney, the Walt Disney Corporation. What do you think?
Assets?
Yep. That's how much the company's worth, not how much they made, not how much revenue. Just what is the
company? How much stuff they got.
How much stuff they got. What is the value of the company?
I don't even know, man.
$95 billion.
It's a lot.
So this is what I want to know. Is how do a company with less than 20 come to a company with almost $100 billion and say, why don't you not try to bury us? And instead, let us do your stuff for you.
That's a really good question.
Maybe Disney bought Netflix and didn't tell anybody. Under the table. Like, what's... Money. I can't remember. I'm not... I don't know. The guy that... The head of Disney.
Eisner.
Maybe he's just... They're in a meeting, and he just, you know... He's like
just
fishing in his pocket for his keys, and he's like, oh no, a check for $50 billion just fell out of my pocket. Oh, CEO of Netflix, if you just pick that up, you know, maybe we could just do this whole thing under the table, you know what I'm saying? They're sketchy. Disney taking over the world, man.
Yeah, I don't know. That is weird. It is weird that it kind of... It's been gone.
Yeah. So anyway...
I don't know.
Back to the movie that affects. Literally, not at all. Because it was a Universal movie that has not been bought by Disney yet. I'm double checking on that. I'm going to pull it up and it's going to be like, recently bought by Disney. Be like, dang it.
Oh my God.
It does affect them.
Disney's low-key got a monopoly under everyone's nose. On.
They're getting there, man. They're getting there. Yeah. But they don't got Scott Pilgrim, and that's why it didn't make money.
Man.
Disney's out here trying to bury Scott Pilgrim versus the world. Under a mountain of Star Wars and Marvel movies. They saw, they're like, Chris Evans, nailed it. Let's get him. He's Captain America now. None of these other people were in Disney movies. Well, that's a bummer. But
okay,
they got him. They killed him.
Yeah. I don't know. This movie, it's interesting.
All right, now that we're back.
Can we talk about the cast?
Yeah, now that we're back off of Cody's tangent that he went off on.
This is Michael's... I feel like this is one of Michael Cera's few roles where he's kind of playing a different type of person.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
What do you mean by different kind of person, though?
I mean, it's always like the awkward, low-talking Canadian.
So you mean like...
Like Michael Cera.
Yeah. Very
rarely has any other roles, but this one I feel like he branches out just a little bit, which is good.
Yeah, I'm trying to look and see what he's been in recently. I haven't seen any of these movies. Oh, he was Robin in the Lego Batman movie.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. That makes so much sense.
He did
a good job in that one.
He did do a different very good different
he did do a different job in that
one. He did do a different job.
That is not this movie.
It was not the film.
But it's got, like, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who I think she's great. But Anna Kendrick, who was not, like, at this time, she was, like, the girl that was in Twilight. Like, she was the side character in Twilight. And that's, like, all she had done at this point when this had come out. Alison Pill, mm-hmm. who's now, like, done some really, she's been in Fargo? She was in Newsroom. She's been in some big time TV, you know, some, like, really... RV TV shows. Aubrey Plaza was in this. Jason Schwartzman, who is, you know, always good. And
is he always good?
I think the two most important people to talk about, I guess three. There are three superhero actors in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of which I didn't even know until you pointed him out. The first one, Christopher Evans. Chris Evans is in this.
Mm-hmm.
And always when I watch this with people, like, they make it about 2 minutes into his scenes and they're like, wait, what? Is that Captain America? Is he in this movie?
Yeah.
Then Allison Brie. Mm-hmm. Nope. Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. Gosh, I always got them
confused. Brie Larson. Who's who's going to be Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel.
And then lastly, what's his name? Superman.
Yeah, he was Superman. Which, when I said
like
Superman.
Like the 2005 Superman, right?
Let me say something to you, Cody.
Yeah.
I grew up. My parents are very old.
Yeah,
they're old people. Older than most. They are old enough to be my grandparents, but mm-hmm. they are my parents. So, the person I grew up watching with my father, the Superman movies.
Yeah.
Like many others who had much younger parents than mine, because my parents were in their like 30s when those came out. But, Superman. Christopher Reeve. Mm-hmm. Awesome Superman. Looks like Superman.
Yeah, he does.
Then they find this guy.
His name.
I don't know his name. I'm pulling it up. Brandon Routh. They find this guy. This gem of a man. who looks like Christopher Reeve. And they put him in as Superman, and they're like, oh, we're going to make Superman, and it's going to be like the old Superman movies. And then everybody came out, and they went, nah.
Pass.
We don't like old Superman movies. And then, what'd you get? What did you get when you said that, people? You got Man of Steel. This is what you get when you refuse old-style Superman. You get Man of Steel. Yep. They can't even call him Superman. They have to say his S is about hope or some crap because it can't be an S because it's trademarked by a different company. So he can't be Superman, and they can't market it as Superman. His S can't just be an S for Superman because of the trademark.
Can't even be S for, like, Steven.
No, can't do it. It's got to be for hope because the symbol is the symbol of his family, and it means hope on his home world. And it's like, does it though, or did you just not pay enough money? So this is what happens. You trade away a man who looks like Christopher Reeve, and you get Henry Cavill, who is so beautiful.
Okay, this is interesting. You might find this interesting. So Brandon Routh, right? This is the guy we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Christopher Reeve lookalike.
Mm-hmm.
How about you want to just guess for me his top four for his filmography? So the films he's known for. So his top four movies, basically.
Movies?
Yeah. Well, credits. Let's say credits.
Credits?
Because they're not all movies.
I think Superman's up there.
Yep.
Is Chuck on there?
Oh, yeah. It's number three.
Is Arrow or Legends of Tomorrow? He plays the same character.
Yep, that's number four. Look at you.
And then he was in Zack and Mary Make a Porno.
Yeah, that's not on the top.
He's in that movie.
Yeah, so number two is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, wow, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That he played Superman, and his number two credit is Scott. Like, that's his only big credit.
Yeah, he did not do well. See, now he plays in that DC Legends of Tomorrow. He plays someone who I fully think is just supposed to be a straight ripoff of Iron Man.
But what even is that, though?
It's a bunch of time-traveling superheroes, and...
I hate to judge a show by its poster, but it looks terrible.
It's not that bad.
Oh.
It's part of the DC TV universe, which is much better than their movie universe. The CW-verse, as people call it.
I'm getting bummed out just talking about it.
It's pretty good. I like it. It's a good one. I haven't watched that show. I do think his character is a very sad attempt by DC back in the day to clone Iron Man. May have come out before Iron Man. I don't know. But he's a lame Iron Man. I can tell you that. He's a rich, genius, billionaire dude that made himself a suit. So it's like, imagine if you made Iron Man, but instead of giving him Iron Man suit, you gave him Ant-Man suit. But he is Tony Stark.
Sounds a lot worse.
Yeah. So, yeah. He has not been in very many films, but he found that role, and I think he does a really good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
Does a good job. But yeah, he's Superman. He looks like Superman. I will always think of him as Superman. That's why took me a second when you said Henry Cavill. I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, oh, that's right. Most people don't know him.
Well, because yesterday I was like, Henry Cavill? Because that obviously isn't Henry Cavill.
Obviously. Henry Cavill is a beautiful man that cocks his fists before he fights. Yeah, this guy didn't do anything like that. He was vegan.
I love this movie. So he shoots him. He uses psychic powers to shoot Scott Pilgrim through a wall. And they're like, don't... Or he's holding him in, like, midair, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, levitating him. And like,
don't. Psychic powers.
He's like, how are you doing this? And she's like, don't you know? Todd's vegan. Like, that explains anything. Just throws him through the wall.
Yeah.
I
like his vegan speech.
October. Let's just... Can I just take you back?
Take me back.
Let's go 7 years in the past.
The year is 1955.
Almost exactly 7 years ago. It's October 2011.
Mm-hmm.
For Halloween, I was Todd Ingram.
Oh my gosh.
I made a killer Todd Ingram costume.
You
I had the
out?
White pants. I had the shirt with the three.
Mm-hmm.
I had the bandy bands. And I already have the really
hair?
Light blonde hair. So I went to a Halloween party. I clearly had the best costume. No one knew what it was from. No one appreciated it. In the slightest.
That's sad.
That was my best Halloween costume I've ever had. Nobody gave a flying fart. They didn't want to know. They didn't care.
Did you tell them you were vegan? Did you explain to them that it just makes you a better person?
I'm vegan.
It's no big deal.
Being vegan makes you better than everyone else. What did they say? how does being vegan give you superpowers again? And he's like, you know how you only use 10% of your brain? Because the other 90% is filled with curds and whey. The thing about this movie, too, is, like, not a lot of the jokes are Edgar Wright's. A lot of them are just straight from the comic. It's mm-hmm. so well written. But the way that Edgar Wright's able to pull off all of, like, the visual comedy and mm-hmm. make it, like, feel like a comic book movie, he did that better than anyone else. Just all, like, it all kind of feels like comic panels.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice this until someone pointed out, but, like, to make it feel more like a comic book, he had people blink as little as possible. So in most of the frames of the movie, unless it's like a blink to like emphasize something, which mm-hmm. they always have like sound effects go with the blinks,
mm-hmm.
People's eyes are always open.
I did not notice that.
Yeah. Just once you know that, you're like, oh my gosh, yeah. And it makes it feel more like a comic book. It just, things like that. I don't know what other directors think about like having their eyes open or closed or not blinking to make it to like fulfill the vision of the movie. But what a good job.
Good job.
What a good boy.
Edgar, good job.
Edgar, you're welcome anytime on the podcast.
Ed?
Ed
W?
Ed, I thought you said Ed, but then said, I was like, what?
Did you say that? You want to come Ed? On the podcast? You want to come on here?
Edgar.
You want to rip apart Ant-Man 2? Because it suffered for you not being there. Okay. Good old Ed.
Edward. Edward P. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It's just, I want to go through the X's. Okay.
Yep. All right.
So let's start with number one. Yep. Okay. I don't remember his name.
Matthew Patel. I'm here.
He's a very Indian guy. Did the Indian dance.
Yeah.
Had his hipster girls there with him.
Demon hipster chicks
doing the dance. They did the little thing, you know.
Yep.
Where you make your put hands over your head and you go, your neck goes
your neck goes to the side and the other side.
Yep. Yeah, they did that. He did a musical and he started singing and everybody was like, what? There's not a lot of singing. Like, I was like, are they all gonna have like a song?
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
Yeah,
it's just Matthew. It's just him. He's just a little over the top. He is the first one. He's the weakest.
Yeah.
He's the one who sent the email, though. He's the one who is in charge of explaining the situation. And he just didn't read the email. So they fought.
Yeah.
They fought, and it was glorious. He had fireballs, Cody.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if you noticed. It was very subtle effects.
He shot fireballs.
He shot them.
And he said the word fireballs when he shot the fireballs, yeah.
And his demon hipster chicks also shot fireballs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fireballs going on.
Mm-hmm.
What are your feelings on Matthew Patel?
It's a very interesting introduction to the X's.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, it's so well shot as far as establishing. Because no one fights anyone up until Matthew Patel busts through the ceiling and they start fighting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just kind of funny. It adds to, like, everyone's kind of... Anna Kendrick's character is just kind of like, wait, what? Like, everyone just, like, fight. But it's, like, such a perfect homage, like, the Street Fighter games and stuff like that, because when they start the fight, it has, like, the versus thing, and there's the crowd in the background, and it's all those little things, like, he gets a combo, and it has, like, a 64-hit combo, and it's all these, like, little references, and they have, like, the little animations when they jump up in the sky, and Matthew Patel has dust all over his clothes, so he's just flipping, there's, like, dust flying everywhere, you know, just a lot of fun. I love it.
Yeah.
My favorite part by far is that Matthew Patel's rhyming and singing, and then he says something that doesn't rhyme, and Scott Pilgrim says, that didn't even rhyme, and he kills him. It's great.
Gets him right in the face. He introduces the League of Evil Exes.
Yeah. The Guild?
The Guild.
The Guild, the League, whatever.
Whatever. You know how much time it took me to get all their contact information? 2 hours! So much time. So much investment.
Oh. Yeah, did you have other thoughts about Matthew Patel?
Just, he set the tone perfectly for, like, all right, everyone else is pretty normal, but any interaction with the exes is going to be a whole nother level.
Yeah, just totally ridiculous.
Just over the top.
Yeah, crazy. They've all got some sort of weird power or gimmick or something. I just thought
they'll have a weakness.
Yeah, they do. I think I was gonna say, I think maybe my favorite Evil X is Lucas Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Evil X number two.
Number dos.
Portrayed by Christopher Daniel Evans.
Yep.
My favorite part. So the introduction is that Scott's roommate,
Howard, right? Wallace. Yeah, it's Wallace. Wallace. I was thinking Wallace. Of Edgar Wright's middle name, which is Howard.
Howard.
I've been saving that.
Wallace is stalking him because he's in town shooting a movie. And so he's like all about him. He's watching the Lucas Lee marathon, like his marathon of movies. There's an explosion and he like hobbles, Lucas Lee hobbles into a phone booth and he dials the phone with a gun to like threaten someone he's going to go fight. I just love it.
He's a cool guy.
Oh man.
Yeah. I like do you remember what he says to the person on the other end of the phone though, Cody?
What did he say? The next click you hear is going to be me hanging up the phone?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The last one you hear is going to be me pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
You got to shoot the guy is what he was saying.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Dial the phone with a gun. What did you think of that fight when how he wins that one?
I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was good. It set another tone for the fights where he was going to have to find the weakness.
Because
he couldn't fight him. He couldn't beat him in a fist fight like he did with Matthew Patel.
Yeah.
He had to find the weakness. And his weakness was his ego and his okay skating skills.
Yeah.
So he did a sick grind on that rail.
Grindy thingy?
Yeah. He got going so fast. And then he exploded.
I also love that when people die, they turn into coins.
Yeah.
Which is, like, another thing. Like, if you play video games or any arcade games growing up, like, you get that.
Yeah.
I think some people, I've seen movies with people where they're like, they're just like, why did that happen?
Yeah. Because you get coins. And the number of coins he got.
Yeah, like the points.
Got up. Went up.
Yeah.
As he beat more and more.
Like a video game.
Mm-hmm. As the bosses get harder. You get more points.
Yeah. What did you talk about, Todd Ingram, number three?
Mm-hmm. We did. We talked about Superman himself. He's vegan. What's his weakness, Cody?
Scott Pilgrim tricks him into breaking Vegan Hedge.
Yeah. Third time. Third strike.
They only get three strikes. I love... He gets him to drink coffee with half and half, right? So it breaks the vegan code. But the vegan police bust through the door. And I think the costume design...
They do not bust through the door.
Oh, sorry, they bust a hole in the wall. They've got like either a smart car or like a Nissan Leaf in the background. Like that's what they came in. And just their costume design is soper. So they have like black shirts with cut off sleeves and they just have hemp bracelets all over. And they're pointing with their finger and there's a little green vegan laser coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. It's so
they got perfect. Vegan powers.
Oh.
But there is a point in this when they're listing off his offenses.
Yeah.
And he has gelato.
Yeah. This is his first offense.
And seeing that scene made me understand, and I told you this when we were done with the film, why a friend of mine refused to believe that I had never seen this movie.
Yeah.
Because anytime I would introduce someone to gelato and they would ask what it is, I would say, it's milk and eggs, baby. And I just say that I'd never seen the film.
Okay. Yeah.
But he was like, that's from Scott Pilgrim. You've obviously seen the movie.
Yeah.
Because there are a few other parts apparently that I've quoted. Didn't actually quote them.
Mm.
Just said them. Right.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh. That's why I can't remember which one of my friends. It was one of them that was really into the movie. I know I haven't talked to him in a long time. That's all I remember of him. So, Greg, if that is your real name, because I can't remember your name. Ha! I hadn't seen it, and now I have, and now I understand why you didn't believe me. But it is milk and eggs, baby.
Yeah, it is.
And he also ate chicken.
Chicken parmesan. Chicken isn't vegan?
Chicken is not vegan. Confirmed. He also... Can I talk about... So, he's talking about what you can't have to become a real vegan.
Yeah.
So, he says the flesh, the breast milk, or the ovum.
Yes. Of anything with a face.
I have never heard someone list it that way.
Yeah.
What?
I love it. I love that he says ovum instead of eggs.
Is that? I was like,
yeah.
Because I wasn't sure with the movie. I'm like, this is weird. I'm like, is he trying to say eggs?
Yeah.
That's a it's weird.
I think they had to say ovum because it makes it's milk and eggs, baby, better. Because if he just says eggs and then later it's like, well, he had eight. But he calls it breast milk and ovum. And then later it's like, well, it's milk and eggs.
Yeah.
It's depth.
Depth.
This movie has depth.
It's very planned out. So there's him. He gets him. He gets him to drink the half and half. They take his powers and then he headbutts him into oblivion.
Yeah.
Who's the next person, Cody? They go to the after party.
I actually can't remember. Oh, Roxy.
Yep.
Ninja Girl.
Yep. I'm burping a lot. So he goes to the after party. He had been introduced to Roxy when she tried to kill him earlier. And he had asked her politely to just not right now.
Prepare to die, obviously. Love it.
Yeah. So they fight.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to fight her. He can't punch a girl. So what's her face? Ramona fights her, but she can't do it. This is a league fight.
Yeah.
He has to do it.
Yeah.
So she grabs his arms, fights her.
Yeah.
Slapping her about with his arms.
Yep.
Then he has to fight her. He has to do it. He has to fight her. After my favorite fight scene, which is her, Ramona, with the hammer.
Yeah.
And her with her little belt whip. Her belt whip.
Cody, she whips. Whippy.
She goes, the whip. She got the hammer and she goes, whoop. And we got the whip.
I want to see a supercut of this movie where it's all the fight scenes, but instead of the actual sound effects, it's Tyler making his own sound effects.
Look,
whip.
If 1,000 people tweet at Cody, I will redo every sound effect in Scott Pilgrim. But yeah, so they fight. It's good. I can't remember how does he defeat her?
Oh, the. Found out the weak spot is the back of her knee.
Weak spot. Cody?
Yep.
How'd you feel at that moment?
It always makes me a little uncomfortable.
Does it?
Just a little bit.
Does it?
Yeah.
If the weak spot is the back of your knee,
yeah,
you should probably tell your significant other that because she looked like she was very much enjoying herself.
Yep.
A lot. So,
yeah.
Probably tell somebody if that's your weak spot,
I've never had a lover caress my knee pit, but I'm sure it would feel nice.
No scientific name for the back of your knee.
If you have a lover, stroke their knee pit.
Do it. Get in
there. Please tweet me at Opinion Havers.
You just had to poke it just a little bit, and then an explosive ending for her.
Yeah.
Is how I even turned to you and I said that was explosive.
Yeah, you did.
Which they obviously were going for that reaction. That's why I said it, because the coins explode. As opposed to the other ones that just drop.
Yeah.
Explode, Cody. So he takes her down with a gentle caress to the back of her knee. Next on the list, Cody.
It's the Katayanagi twins.
I'm glad you remember their names because I certainly did not.
Yep. Yep.
Which I liked that. I liked that scene. Because they did not fight, Cody. They did not do a battle with their fists.
They battled with the power of music.
The power of huge amps.
Giant amps.
And rock music.
And it's very, EDM.
It's very over the top. There were dragons. Mm-hmm. There was a giant monkey, possibly.
Yeah, King Kong type tumor. Deal.
And they fought. They made them fight with their music, with their words, and their mind. Oh, also earlier, going back to Superman.
Yeah,
they do a bass battle.
Which, a what?
A bass battle.
Oh, yeah.
I like that a lot. I used to play bass. I dug it. I was like, that's nice.
Yeah.
Isn't a good one. So, second music battle. What do you think, Cody?
I really like that one. I like that not all of them are just like fist fights.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes me appreciate the fights there are, and then just seeing the ways that he beats the X's are just fun.
What do you think about the fact that they literally blew the roof off that place?
That was cool. I just love, like, he hits the effects pedal,
mm-hmm.
and that's when they turn all green, and it's the gorilla.
Yeah.
The fight.
Lightning
yeah.
shoots from their instruments.
I can see why this movie was $80 million. with how, I mean, the effects look really good.
Really good.
Yeah, they did a great job with those.
So good.
Last
one. G-Man himself. Gideon.
G-Man Graves. I knew a guy I went to church with who always was like, you totally look like Gideon from Scott Pilgrim. He would call me Gideon. I think what he meant was, I have similar glasses.
No. That's not what he meant.
Which is fine. I think Jason Schwartzman's great.
He's the bad guy, Cody.
Yeah.
He puts a chip in her brain.
He does such a good job at this. Because all the villains, they do their own over-the-top villain thing, which kind of makes it work, I think. And Jason Schwartzman's no exception.
Yes.
He plays like an insufferable hipster record label, you know, up-and-coming record producer. Oh.
Yeah. I could not suffer through him.
Not. Yep. Not possible.
So, yeah, he's kind of a tool. And then that's the big twist, is that the guy that they've been trying to impress, Cody, is her final boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The ending to this is really interesting.
Is it?
Because they go through, he goes and confronts Gideon, and it goes and it goes, and he dies.
He dies.
He doesn't win the fight.
John Tucker must die.
Saving that one? That just come to you.
It just came to me. Callback.
Amazing.
You've unlocked callback to a previous episode. That's 1,000 points right there, people.
So Scott Pilgrim had one up from earlier in Extra Life. And so he goes back and does the whole thing again. And I love that scene because it felt to me the way that when you've gotten to a boss fight and you die and you have to redo the level, but you know everything from the level, so you get through it a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that scene felt like to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, I thought it was super well done.
It's a cutting remark to that guy at the front door.
So there's a guy at the door you have to give the password to, and the first time he's like, whatever. He's like, cool, like lets him in.
Mm-hmm.
And then times two, when he has to go back around, you're just like, what does he say?
I think he says your hair is weird or something.
I was like, your hair looks dumb or something. He's like, yeah. And he just dies. Yeah.
Cutting. He has to kill the other two guys, but that all he has to do. Mean word.
Yeah.
And then
those words cut deep.
The first time he unlocks love, the power of love, he pulls it from his chest as a sword. Yeah. A Hattori Hanzo sword.
Double callback.
And he fights and he kills people. But he ultimately falls.
Yeah, he does.
Second time, he pulls self-respect.
The power of self-respect.
He has so many more stat boosts from self-respect.
Yeah.
Than from love. Then he fights Cody. What happens? Lay it out for me.
He kind of wins. He strikes down Gideon, but Knives Chow is on her way to exact revenge on Ramona Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, G-Man pops back up. They have to fight him again. And he does, I love how he does like the anime Naruto, what's that thing in Naruto or the ninjutsu where they do the hand symbols and then they have like a power?
Let me do it for you.
Yeah, do it. Ready?
They go like, and then they're in.
Yeah.
Everybody who watches this
activated
show.
Their ability. Anyway, so he does that.
Effects. You gotta do the sound effects so people at home know what you're doing.
Yeah. He has a big old sword. Mm-hmm. Fight him. They all team up.
Yep.
To defeat him.
Teamwork.
That's good. I think what's super interesting about the end of this movie, and I didn't know this till like the second or third time I watched it, someone told me, so the comic, the last graphic novel, I think there's six, and so the sixth one hadn't come out yet as they were shooting the movie, so they didn't actually know how it was going to end, so I think they shot two or three different endings, because in the end there's Knives Chow and there's Ramona Flowers, and you don't really know who's going to end up with, if anyone at all, and so... It was just interesting. I've heard Edgar Wright said he was really conflicted because part of him like wanted to have him end up with Knives Chow, which would have been an interesting ending. But I love that in the end of the movie, she's like, Ramona's like leaving. She feels bad that everyone had to go through all this stuff, all her baggage, you know, with all these evil exes. So she's leaving, and Knives Chow like tells Scott Pilgrim to go, like, go get her. And she's like, I'm too cool for you anyway. And you're like, Knives Chow, you've grown so much. In this movie.
You sweet, sweet thing.
He says Chow Knives, which is wonderful. And then he goes off with Ramona. It's great. I will say, the one critique I have of this movie, it has taken me 14 times watching this movie to come up with a real critique.
Can't even say it. Can't even say it. That's how much your brain is fighting you. It's all that curds and whey.
So the whole thing, this movie, he starts dating a high schooler. Mm-hmm. He meets Ramona Flowers. She's cool and mysterious and aloof. So he's like, I want that. He starts dating Ramona without breaking up with Nice Chow. There's how this overlap. And so the last time he plays through that, like, level 7 beating Gideon, he's like, I cheated on you. I cheated on both of you. And he apologizes. It is a little weird that Ramona's like, okay, that's cool. Just like, rolls on. I mean, mm-hmm. I greatly appreciate her ability to forgive him. But at the same time, it's like, you just found out he was cheating. Like, he hadn't ended this other relationship.
Yeah.
You know? That's the only thing I could think of. That's the only plot. There's no plot holes.
Yeah.
It's airtight. This movie's airtight. Yeah.
It's airtight. He fights Nega.
Nega Scott.
Nega Scott. And he's like, I have to do this alone. So they leave. Mm-hmm. They leave and they do a battle, an epic battle, and they walk out. And they're going to get brunch later.
Yeah. It's like, you get French toast, and they put bananas on it, you get some bacon. It's like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'm into that.
Yeah.
You're just friends.
He's like, yeah, he's a cool guy. We have a lot in common. Which I was like, yeah.
There's so many jokes.
Yeah.
So many, especially, that last 10 minutes, chock full of them.
Because when you saw it, because earlier, I don't know if you caught it, the subtle not earlier, they're at the dance game.
Yeah.
And it's the solo round.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can never get past this guy.
Yeah, it's Nega Ninja.
Nega Ninja.
And he's fighting Nega Scott later.
Mm-hmm.
There's buddies though.
It was nothing. It was just them talking. There was no fight. It was not that epic. But it was a very funny end to the film. And then I thought, I'm like, oh good, he's going to get with Knives.
Did you think that?
I wanted him to get with Knives.
Really?
I was like,
make your case because...
I was like, Ramona came into his life and she's like, I appreciate you, you know, like, but you went through all this stuff. I just need to start again. And I was like, oh, she's like Manny McPhee or Mary Poppins. She came into his life. She made him a better person. Now she's moving on.
Like a sexy girlfriend nanny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to get with Knives. And then he didn't. And I was like, yeah. Well, if you want to be predictable, whatever your name is who wrote the...
Brian Lee O'Malley?
Sure.
I think that's his name. Brian O'Malley. I'm not the Lee's in there.
Brian Lee O'Malley.
Oh, I'm so good at this.
You want to be a predictable little comic writer? That's fine.
Because here's the thing about... I mean, when he was dating Nia Chow, he's like, I don't know. It's like simple. Everyone's like, what does he say? The morning period. I'm over the morning period. And I think Kim is like, dating high school is the morning period. You know, she just was... I mean, as much as Nia Chow had grown, like, he was dating her because it was easy. They don't know if they had a real connection. You're just like, oh, okay, here's someone. Because when you date someone 5 years younger than you, they think you're super cool. And he's like spouting off his Pac-Man facts. And then she's like, that's so awesome. And then when he's saying the same things to Ramona at the party, she's like, doesn't care one bit, you know? Yeah. And then he's like, I'll leave you alone forever. And she's like, thanks.
Yeah. I can confirm that is a real fun fact about Pac-Man.
Amazing.
It was Puck-Man. And then they thought, yeah, that's a bad decision to send that to America. Let's change it to Pac-Man. You know what? They still vandalized it. They still did it.
Didn't stop them.
Didn't stop them.
You can't stop Americans from vandalizing things.
Also didn't stop the Japanese from vandalizing it. So.
And I don't know. I'm happy with the ending because I think he really... I'm happy that Ramona... I don't know. It seems like Ramona's one of those people where, like, there's always people interested in her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she cares that much about him, but it seemed like she actually cared about Scott. And there was someone who was like, I don't care about all that other stuff. Like, they did learn about all of each other's baggage because Ramona tells all these stories of people she didn't treat really very well, and Scott's didn't treat Nizer well, but I feel like they both grew, you know?
You know, you got a critique, you know, you had your critique of the story. I got my critique of if a girl
airtight. It's airtight.
A girl's sitting there, right, and she's talking to you and you're dating her, right? Mm-hmm. And she's laying out all these ex-boyfriends that at the literal drop of a hat, like a dude walks by you while you're making out with your boyfriend and you leave that boyfriend to get another boyfriend, and then your current boyfriend's like, are you gonna do that to me? And you're like, how dare you? It's like, no, that's a legitimate, like,
yeah.
What?
Well, hold
I'm
on.
The eighth person in we line are, that you've done this
we
to.
Are talking 11 years, though.
But
she dated Todd Ingram 11 years before this movie takes place. Yeah. So, I mean...
But she did it to all of them.
Not all of them.
Name one she didn't leave at the drop of a hat.
Gideon.
But she did.
Gideon broke up with her.
No, she left him.
No.
Yeah.
You broke up with her.
No. Because that's why he chased her.
No, because remember when she was like, truth is, I was
the one. He formed the lead.
She said, truth is, I was the one who was obsessed.
Yeah.
Right?
And then she's like, so I had to leave because I was too obsessed with him. He didn't care. But then he cared. Right. So she left. And then he's like, oh, where'd she go?
I think your timeline's off.
Nope.
I think it's off.
Nope. Why would he form a league of evil boyfriends, or evil exes, sorry?
Someone leaves you? Then you have that regret.
No.
You regret it.
She left him. She ran away. She even says that she runs away from him. That's why she came to Canada, to get away from him.
So that's your problem. That she didn't treat people well.
Yeah, and then when he's like drunk after his two drinks. His
two G&Ts.
There's not much gin and tonic either. It's a very, very tiny amount. And then she's all like, how dare you, sir? I would never do that to somebody. And it's like, but you've done it a lot to people. An awful lot.
Yeah, I will say, if there's one thing... I think this may be the best adaptation of a written work to film ever done.
Mm-hmm.
The most loyal. And for a long time in my brain, I contemplated, is the comic better than the movie, or the movie better than the comic?
Which one?
And I finally settled that the comic is better than the movie.
Mm.
Not by much. And I think the other thing is, like, this movie, the timeline of this movie is like 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the timeline of the graphic novel is about 2 years. And so it has the benefit of like, okay, you know, realistically, if you're dating someone for 2 weeks, you're probably not going to die for him.
Yeah.
But in the comic, it's like a 2-year process. Like, there's a point where like Scott gets a job. There's a point where he and Ramona actually move in together. You know, like it's it's a much longer thing. And so I think it makes a little more sense why there's more like trust and he's more invested in the relationship. Whereas this one, he seems very infatuated. And I mean, but she's so aloof.
So aloof.
There are few qualities more attractive than someone not being interested in you. Mm. Am I right?
Yeah.
Not wrong.
Sure. Can we talk about the true hero and star of this film?
Yes. Who?
Who do you think, Cody?
Wallace.
Wallace.
Yeah.
Oh, dear sweet goodness.
I do think your biggest laugh is probably at Wallace.
Well, okay. Let me break it down for the audience here. I gotta readjust myself.
Yep.
So, sweet, sweet Scott. He's asleep on their shared blow-up bed.
Shared. It's like a queen mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
With no nothing. No box spring. No nothing.
So he's asleep, and Wallace bursts through the door, and he's like, "Guess who's drunk?" And I found that so funny because I've had that happen to me.
Yeah.
Of someone busting through a door. Guess who's drunk?
Yeah.
And then you say, I guess. He says, I guess
Wallace.
He's like, you're right.
He throws the keys on his head and jumps into bed.
And it was so funny. Man. So perfect. Everything. And anytime Scott woke up in the middle of the night because he's having a dream or he's struggling with something, and he pops up, and then Wallace pops up, and then other Scott pops up.
Yeah.
And then another guy will pop up. And it's like, no, he's just sharing this bed with his gay roommate and his boyfriends.
Such a good bit. It's that visual comedy that Edgar Wright pulls off so well.
Oh, it's so funny. And like, there's even a scene, I think, where he pops up and other Scott pops up and is trying to comfort him. And then Wallace is like, no, don't even try.
Just, yeah.
Just like, don't engage him.
Yeah. Fun fact. That's Kieran Culkin. You may recognize the last name Culkin from the only other Culkin. That's famous.
Jordan?
I'll give you a hint. His name is McCulley.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. So that's the older brother of Macaulay Culkin. Isn't that fun? Didn't you just love that fact?
He looks like a normal human being.
Quip. Yeah, that's true.
Macaulay Culkin does not.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you survive more than one Home Alone movie and become an adult.
He looks like a weird
You gotta person. Cope. You got to cope with the trauma, having to fend off burglars.
I mean, I think there was some other trauma going on with Macaulay Culkin. fucking butt.
I'm saying he used maybe some substances he shouldn't have as a coping mechanism.
I think he was used as a substance.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I'm pretty sure.
Sorry, Macaulay. At least Kieran's okay.
Kieran, he looks okay. He looks like a good boy. Good. You know, I'd live with Kieran Culkin as my gay roommate.
Yeah. He has a pretty fun gay roommate.
Yeah. You know?
I am going to stalk my hetero Kieran? Crush.
Kieran, you wanna move in together? That's fine. But, you know, I need to know that you're gay before we do this. Actually gay.
That's true.
I don't know if you're fake gay for the movie or if you're real gay, so I need to know that fact before we can finalize the paperwork. So hit me up, and we'll get this sorted out, you know?
Yeah. There's just so many good, like, visual bits. Like, there's the one where Scott's avoiding knives. And so Knives knocks on the door. Wallace opens the door. You see Scott jump out of the way of the door so she can't see him. Like, Scott mm-hmm. here? He's like, nope. Crashes through the window. He just left. Reaches back in the window. Grabs his jacket.
You notice how...
Walks behind her.
The motions that Wallace does that, like, perfectly keep him in between. Uh-huh. I'm like, this is not the first time this happened. Because yeah. Even when he reaches back in and Wallace, like, tilts his head and, like, moves it back, it's like, this is not the first time.
That's such an Edgar Wright thing to do. Like, they had to time that just right with the door swinging and the camera pans a little bit mm-hmm. to catch him going out the window.
And then he walks behind her.
Yeah, and then I think it makes a lot of sense that he did this and Baby Driver. Because Baby mm-hmm. Driver is full of stuff like that. Where, like, it's mm-hmm. shot to music and the movements are very specific with the camera and everything. But mm-hmm. what a man. I mean, he can... No one plans out their shots for comedy like Edgar.
Mm-mm. Edgar? Good job.
Good job, Edgar.
Good job. That was a good one. Probably one of the most well-known scenes of the movie because it's such a shared gif.
It's a great gif.
Gif.
Gif. I mean, I feel like I could go on all day talking about my favorite bits and whatnot.
It's so funny.
Just a hilarious movie. Can I, this is a personal note for me.
Personal.
Go on. This is part of the reason I love this movie so much.
Hit it.
This movie got me through my very first breakup. Mm. Little 17-year-old Cody. With a broken heart.
It's a young man.
I watched Scott Pilgrim. And I felt like I could crush on Ramona Flowers and I could move on. I felt like there was hope, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hope.
That's just a weird personal thing that happened to me, but I just connected with this movie a whole lot. Made me mm-hmm. really happy in a dark, dark time.
The darkest of times, some people would say.
When you're 17, you get your heart broken. There's no worse thing that has ever happened to a human being.
It's literally the end of the world.
Yeah. Divorce? Not even close.
Mm-mm.
Cancer?
Who cares?
Forget about it.
You know? It's like, you know, whatever. Breaking up with your high school girlfriend? It's like, what's the point anymore? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
It's over.
So if that's happened to you...
If you're in high school and you just broke up with someone...
Or about to break up with someone.
Or if you want to break up with someone, I would highly recommend Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Do it. Here's what you do. Watching.
You bring him. You bring him a bouquet of flowers. You bring him a Blu-ray, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. You say, "This is gonna work out. You're gonna need this." Send him that DVD. I'll appreciate it.
Yeah, this is how you break up with someone.
Please, Tyler. For those of you who don't know Tyler as well as I know Tyler,
mm-hmm.
Tyler is broken. Somewhere, conservative estimates, 14 hearts.
Yep.
And those go all the way up to 50s and 60s. Some scientists argue.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very good at this.
Yep, pretty good. So you take your significant other, take him out on to your favorite park where you had like your first kiss or something, you know?
Yep.
Right. Take him out. Sun setting, perfect evening.
Yeah.
Got some flowers. Give them to him. Walking down. Get down on your knee. You pull out a box. You open the box. In there, it's a note that says, "I want to break up."
And how is that? What's the logic behind that? What does that do exactly?
I mean, it's just, you know, as soon as you go down on that knee, they know what's coming. They know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's like it gives their time to mentally prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're like, oh, we're at where we first kissed, where all these great moments happened. It's like, obviously, we're about to break up.
Yeah.
And that little felt box comes out, and they're like, yeah. No. Well, all right. Well, I've had moments to prepare. I've had this whole evening where I thought this might happen.
Yeah.
And he busted on them.
Tyler, where can people order your book on relationships and love?
You can order it from Joe. He lives in a dumpster behind your local Walmart. If you don't have a Walmart, a Kmart.
Doesn't he copy the books using old Penny Saver ads? Mm-hmm. And he clips out the letters and he makes a really nice... He'll take an old phone booth, right? Mm-hmm. Use that as sort of a template and then he pastes in the letters.
Exactly.
It's really nice. It's handmade. It's locally sourced.
Yeah. It's vegan.
It's all recycled.
Yeah.
Repurposed.
He only uses... For his glue, he only uses found dead horses... to make his glue. So we never harm a horse.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's not really vegan, but you know.
Yeah.
Chicken's vegan, so his glue is
it's
vegan.
It's close enough.
Because we didn't kill the horse. The horse died of natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it looks pretty serial killery when you open it up with all the letters, but I don't think it's got a very
It's part of the charm. I think it adds a certain element of danger, you know? I love this movie.
Yeah. It's a good one. I like it a lot. Best video game movie I've ever seen. And I'll bite you if you call it a comic
movie. I agree. And you, I mean, honestly, I would recommend to just about anyone who enjoys humor.
Humor?
The graphic novels.
I enjoy humor.
Watch the movie, read the graphic novels. They're both excellent. I'm thinking about going through them again. They were so good.
What?
I know.
That's crazy. That's a crazy statement you just made there, Cody.
I know.
But Cody, if they want to follow you and find out your thoughts, wait. Hold.
I have one last thing.
He has a thing before we give you the stuff.
I want you to guess. But this is the last thing I want to talk about. I want you to guess IMDb score, Metacritic, Rotten Tomatoes.
79, 65, and 82.
7.5 on IMDb.
Oh my gosh.
All right. That's pretty good. 81% Rotten Tomatoes. Oh my gosh. And here's the best part. 69% on Metacritic. I just got a weather notification. No joke. It's going to be 69 degrees tomorrow. It was meant to be. I'm going to take a little screenshot right now. Just so you know that this is legit. This is real. This actually happened.
This is real life.
All right. Sorry, you were asking me a question. A really important question.
I don't know. You're going to read the book. You're going to tweet about it. Where are they going to follow you? For
whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Tweet me. At Opinion Havers. Yeah. You watch this movie? If you want to get a hold of Tyler's book on love, loss, and romance, what's the title of that book again?
I mean, it depends if Joe what letters Joe has left over.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a single letter. Usually he goes for the J or the L. Or sometimes he just sharpies a heart.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I see most of the time is the heart.
The heart is pretty easy.
What does he color that in with? He's got like, is it like chicken blood or what is that?
Exactly
does he just get that from the dumpster?
Yeah. I didn't really want to talk about it since I'm trying to make it seem like it's a vegan book, but yeah, it is chicken blood.
Well, you can request. You can always request a letter one instead of a chicken blood one.
You're going to have to find him in a good mood, though.
Joe, he's pretty ornery.
You're going to want to bring him some Coors Light if you're going to ask for a custom book, because he will stab you. He will stab you in the face. Joe, he's gone downhill since I hired him as my publisher. And he was the cheapest, and he said he could print me 10 million copies. He's made 40, so he's over-delivered a little bit. 40 million's a lot. You're dealing with cutouts of ads, but
it's classic misdirect.
So you can find Joe behind the Walmart. Remember, if it's a super center, you want to be careful because sometimes Terry's with him and he's real sketchy. He will murder you.
Yeah.
Okay. So Joe, he'll get you the book, or you can just listen to the other episodes of the podcast, which are on podcast services all over the place,
everywhere
from here to Kentucky.
If there's a service you use, can't find us on it. You can tweet me at Opinion Havers. We'll try to make it happen. Let me know.
Yeah, let us know. I know you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, podcasts.com.
Yeah, Stitcher.
Stitcher. Yeah, we're on Stitcher now.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit on Stitcher. The Podbean, whatever Cody uses.
Uh-huh. Double pod. I use double pod.
Double pod. Not Podbean. Double pod. Maybe.
But we're on Podbean, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't keep track of it. Whatever. Just Google it. You know, Google Opinion Havers, not the inappropriate site, the podcast, you know. That's my side business, Cody. I didn't want you to find out like this, but.
I'm learning that you deal with some really sketchy people when we're not recording this podcast.
Look, Terry runs the other site. You don't want to go to him. He has a whole nother array of things he's offering. You probably don't want that. I don't approve of the things that he's selling, but we're in a contract. I'm in it for at least another 10 years.
So. Talking about lifted light bulbs, you know, selling on the black market.
Yeah.
Crossbows.
A lot of molding for people's houses. A lot of like crown molding and stuff. It's weird stuff he got, but you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, I mean, you know, instead of going to see those two guys, you could just watch movies.
And have opinions.
And fight crazy exes.
Evil exes.
Evil exes. They're not crazy. They're completely sane. But they're evil.